Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic, who joins us weekly, which we very much appreciate. These films: Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, Cunningham, and Little Women. I have questions, but we'll just let you get right down to it. Hi, David. How are you?
Okay, Jill. How are you doing this week?
I'm fine. Good. Which did you like better, Little Women or Star Wars?
Oh, I like Little Women better. But therein lies, I guess, a bit of a tale about my history with Star Wars, which is, I think, like a lot of people's history with Star Wars. Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, certainly has one of the longer titles of the season. The first Star Wars movie, and I don't mean the first in the order of the narrative, I mean the first in the one that came out, that was made way back in the 1970s, was simply called Star Wars. And now it has one of those long titles too. And I have to say, I was when the very first Starwalkers came out back in the middle of the 70s, I was just enormously enthusiastic about it. It was a terrific accomplishment from George Lucas. I think I saw it 5 times during its initial release, and since then it's been reissued with enhanced effects and that sort of thing. And of course, that turned out to be the first part of a trilogy. And then a second trilogy that was kind of a prequel trilogy came out. And now we have, never mind. I can't even keep the chronology straight in my mind anymore without charts and graphs and things. But anyway, we have now had finally the end of the third trilogy, which is the one that we have now, Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. And I saw it in 3D IMAX because I wanted to do it right. And I have to say, my enthusiasm for the Star Wars series has definitely weakened as the series has proceeded. George Lucas planned from the very beginning, if all went well, that he wanted to have 3 trilogies, a total of 9 films. And in fact, over these many decades, he has succeeded in doing that, even though he has not directed one of these for a very long time. He usually farms them out to other directors, in this case, J.J. Abrams. And I just find certainly the excitement that was in me with the first Star Wars and then with the very first sequel, which was The Empire Strikes Back, and then the third one was even then a little bit weaker, but still it was exciting stuff. There was a lot going on. It was still sort of breaking new frontiers in science fiction. The second trilogy did not excite me nearly as much, and this third trilogy, I am afraid, my enthusiasm has largely just sort of drained away. I have to say, I like this season's brand new Star Wars Episode 9 better than I liked Episode 8. Which just sort of, it made very little impression on me for some reason. And this one made slightly more impression, mainly because, yes, some of the effects are really astonishing, some of the visual effects. There is just, the movie industry, and particularly George Lucas's operation, has just managed to accomplish all kinds of amazing things in the way of visual effects. But aside from that, the movie is not so interesting. I'm just afraid it isn't. And it turns out that a lot of people sort of share this feeling. There's been a lot of discontent, a lot of grumbling in the Star Wars community and in the movie-going community more generally, that this one doesn't really live up to the what it should be as the climax to the whole grand trilogy of trilogies. And I think some of that may be something that moviegoers and TV watchers nowadays get into. There was a lot of grumbling about the end of Game of Thrones. A lot of people felt that the last season of Game of Thrones didn't didn't live up to the promise of the whole. And I sort of agree with that. But it just seems that people get expecting so extraordinarily much from these long narrative arcs that then almost anything that's going to come out at the end is going to seem like a disappointment. And I think some of the grumbling is not entirely deserved. That said, I'm doing some of the grumbling. I don't feel that, I'll put it this way, that the third Star Wars trilogy lives up to what the whole really ideally would be. That said, I'm not even going to get into the story. I mean, the Rise of Skywalker tells you what the story of this new Star Wars episode is. It has a terrific cast. Carrie Fisher is there, the late Carrie Fisher, by virtue of archive footage that's been in the vaults. Mark Hamill is back again as Luke Skywalker, although he's in the movie for about 10 seconds. It's nice to see him. Major roles are taken by Oscar Isaac and Adam Driver. Daisy Ridley from Game of Thrones is definitely here in a major role. Some of the original people are still around. Anthony Daniels is still playing C-3PO. He was in the very first Star Wars movie way back so long ago and has been going on through. Ian McDiarmid is really good as Emperor Palpatine. Lupita Nyong'o, Richard E. Grant, Domhnall Gleeson, all of these big names are in it. So it's got, you know, a wonderful cast. It's got absolutely fabulous effects, and yet the whole thing seems to be less than the sum of its parts. So what can I say? People who have been following the Star Wars series over the years will definitely go to see this. I think a lot of people will have a very good time with it. A lot of people will be mildly disappointed with it. Some people won't go near it at all because Star Wars simply holds no interest for them. Myself, I still have warm, nostalgic feelings about the beginnings of the Star Wars series. I feel that the whole thing has kind of petered out, and I am sort of glad that it's over. But hey, it was fun while it lasted. I want to turn now to a movie which is so totally different and which features phenomenal visual effects of a totally opposite kind. And that is the movie Cunningham, which was directed by Alec Kovgan and which is a documentary about one of the great dancers and choreographers of all time, Merce Cunningham. Merce Cunningham was a fabulous, fabulous figure, a giant of the world of choreography and modern dance, a true innovator and a total avant-gardist who nonetheless made his way as a major figure in just the whole field of modern dance. Really a unique thing, I think. You have somebody who is completely forging his own rules as to what choreography and modern dance can be, and who makes himself into a pillar of the entire field, one of the great figures with an enormous audience without ever compromising one tiny little bit. A remarkable accomplishment. And I asked him about that once. I interviewed Merce Cunningham years ago, and I said, how is it that you do such radical work, which is so radically different from even the other radicals, and you have this enormous audience, you are so hugely successful. He was very modest. He said, I guess I've just been around so long, I'm part of the landscape. Well, okay, maybe that's the answer. I think that the real answer is that he was just a genius who did astonishingly great work, and that even though his work was so different from anything else around, he was really able to draw in very, very large and persistent audiences over the years. He himself kept dancing. He didn't stop dancing as so many choreographers do. He kept on dancing until he was really quite an old man. But the main thing, I think, was his choreography and the company that he formed. And also his very long partnerships with some other artists, especially the great composer John Cage and the great artist Robert Rauschenberg. So he was an amazing artist who had a series of partnerships with other artists. And anyway, Cunningham is a documentary about him. Now, mainly it focuses on the earlier years of his company. There's nothing from the 80s or the 90s. All the dance that we see in it comes from the earlier decades, about the earliest 30 years of his activity. And there is, on the one hand, a lot of archival footage of him dancing and his company dancing back in those old days. And then there is also a lot of very modern, recent footage of other people dancing his dances, dancing his choreography. And the way to see Cunningham, if it is at all possible for people, is in 3D, because the movie has been made in 3D, and that is how I saw it. And when I referred earlier to the amazing visual effects aspects of this movie. Look, the choreography is sensational, including the 2D choreography is just wonderful. It's fabulous stuff. But I suppose that the real way, if you possibly can, to see the movie is the way I saw it in 3D, because... You know, I'm going to say something now that may be a bit controversial. Many years ago, I decided the ideal pairing of a cinematic format and a particular genre of film was 3D and pornography. What other genre lends itself as well and gains as much from 3D as pornography? But then some years ago, when Wim Wenders made his magnificent documentary Pina about the dancer and choreographer Pina Bausch in 3D, I realized no. The totally ideal pairing of a format and a genre is the dance film and 3D. And Pina is a sensational movie. And Cunningham is another sensational movie. And you get to see this marvelous Merce Cunningham choreography and dancing. So if you can't see it in 3D, if you have even the slightest interest in dance, especially in modern dance, it's a movie to see anyway. See it in 2D. It's got beautiful stuff in it. It's got gorgeous colors in it in the modern footage. And you get to see Merce Cunningham dancing his own dances and talking about his craft and his art and the tremendous perseverance that he put into it over so many decades. It's just a wonderful, wonderful documentary, and I had a great time seeing it, and I am just so delighted that it is with us. Finally, Little Women. Okay, Little Women, based on the novel, of course, by Louisa May Alcott. I've read this novel. It's a wonderful novel. And some people have been quoting a bit from the novel that also appears in the new movie, which, by the way, was directed by Greta Gerwig, a very talented person. She wrote it and directed it. And a bit of a line from the novel that appears in the movie is as following. Jo, who is always, in all the movie versions, it seems that she's the most prominent of the girls. Jo is talking with her mother, and Jo is upset that she lost her temper. And Jo said, is talking to her mother and saying, oh, I really wish I hadn't. And the mother, who is named Marmee, known as Marmee, says, you remind me of myself. And Jo says to Marmee, but you're never angry. And Marmee says, I'm angry nearly every day of my life. Now, this is in the novel, Little Women, by Louisa May Alcott. And it's a remarkable line because it's really a proto-feminist line. It is a line by a woman who seems to be always in control, who seems to be simply doing what women are supposed to do and falling completely within the socio-cultural patterns of her time. And yet it turns out that she is angry nearly every day of her life. Fascinating stuff. So the big question is, does a sensational line like that really sum up the new Greta Gerwig version of Little Women? Is it really kind of a feminist movie in its own right? And I would say yes, it is. And again, it's largely due to elements which are in the Louisa May Alcott novel. For example, and I'll just mention this most prominently, the fact that that Jo March, played by the way by Saoirse Ronan in the new movie, is an aspiring novelist. She is clearly the Louisa May Alcott character of the novel and of the movie versions, and she, in other words, wants to be a working woman. She wants to be somebody who doesn't simply get married and have children and, you know, follow the pattern of what used to be called the housewife. She actually wants to be an artist. She wants to be a professional. She wants to have a career. And she succeeds in that ultimately. So, I think that Little Women has a lot to speak to us in this day and age. And I think that it is a novel which always bears reviving. Not too long ago, I looked at the movie from the 1930s. There's been any number of movie adaptations and miniseries adaptations. I looked at the movie from the early 1930s, directed by George Cukor, starring the wonderful Katharine Hepburn. And I think that movie is really most remarkable because of Hepburn's performance. She is just astonishing. Her charisma is just absolutely magnificent back in 1933. And I don't think that any performance in The New Little Women quite lives up to that. But I do think that there's a certain kind of a feminist quality that comes through in the novel and that does come through in at least some of the movie adaptations. And it's in the new one, even though the new one does not make a big deal out of it. So Greta Gerwig has built a kind of a cult among a lot of movie critics. She can do no wrong. Everything she does is magnificent as an actress and as a director. Well, I am not a member of the Greta Gerwig cult. I've never quite understood the enormous ecstasies that develop over her every appearance on the screen and so forth. She is not in her own version of Little Women, and that's okay with me. But she has assembled a terrific cast. Saoirse Ronan is wonderful as Jo. Playing the other three Little Women are Emma Watson, Florence Pugh, and Eliza Scanlon, who are all just fine. And even more sort of, let's say, charismatic than that is Laura Dern, who was a wonderful marmy. My gosh, I remember when she was young Laura Dern in something like Blue Velvet. And now she is playing the mom and doing a wonderful job of it. Other people, Tracy Letts, a terrific actor, as great as the crusty old editor, has a small part in the movie. Chris Cooper is the crusty old man who lives nearby, and so forth and so on. Louis Garrel is the foreigner who becomes a romantic interest of one of the girls. Timothée Chalamet is another love interest, young Laurie Lawrence. Anyway, wonderful cast. Terrific story. I was interested to find out recently that no less a macho human being than Theodore Roosevelt was a big fan of the Alcott novel. This movie is making huge waves. I expect it's going to be a big part in the Academy Awards race. It's already been racking up a lot of interest from the awards givers of the world, and it's a good movie. I can't say it's a great movie, but look, there's always room for another Little Women to reflect the values of each age, and this is a good one for our age. And that is my somewhat varied story this week, Joe.
For which we thank you always, David Starrett, Films in Focus. The films, Star Wars Episode IX, The Rise of Skywalker, and Little Women.